Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Very much put the special season talk to a rest. RIP special season, that's gone. All right, welcome back to the show. It's a 5 o'clock hour of the Roundtable here with James Strebel, Max Godby sitting across from me, and Zach Cantrell doing a great job with the show today as well. Hey, want to say special thanks to our good friends at Cox's Evergreen Liquors, 27 area locations, walk-in, drive-through, delivery. Cox's Evergreen Liquors, that's Louisville's go-to liquor store. And as we all know, it's Derby season. And if you're going to Derby parties, you're going out to the track or wherever you want to go, make sure you stop by Cox's Evergreen Liquors. They've got everything you need. Wine, beer, mixers, top shelf bourbon, any type of bourbon you want, they have it there for you. Cox's Evergreen Liquors is Louisville's go-to liquor store, and every Wednesday, buy three, get one free cigars. Go ahead and stock up on the cigars. I know I'm going to have like two or three at least a day when I'm out there at the track, so go ahead and start getting those today. Cox'sLouisville.com. And Max, you wanted to give a special shout-out today as well.
Oh, yeah, so this weekend, I went, and this is my 6th year of doing this, but buying a whole beef cow. And I buy it out in Georgetown, Kentucky, from this gentleman named Jeremy Hughes, who is the head farmer of Triple J Farms.
Okay.
They're not on Twitter. They're on Facebook and Instagram. But when I talk about, like, because you know this, Strebel, with the amount that we talk about it, anything involving the grocery store industry,
yes,
I'm extremely sus about, as the kids say.
It's sus. And,
but, I mean, this dude has taken care of our family for 6 years now, and I know everything that's going into these cows. He's very thorough and detailed, and it's all extremely organic meat. It tastes fantastic. I mean, it's a great value. Like, it usually for me comes out to about $4.50 to $5 a pound.
Yeah.
And that's everything from filet mignons, ribeyes, ground beef. He does a primal mix also. So if you're into eating the organ meat as well, but you don't want to venture and just do organ
meat,
he'll mix it into ground beef and it tastes fantastic. So you get like really nutrient dense ground beef. And then he throws in cow bones for me, extra beef fat, because my wife will use it to render down that fat,
yeah,
and make a tallow out of it.
Ooh, a little tallow talk. There we go.
And then, of course, the oxtail and the tongue as well.
Like, and we were talking about the tail and the tongue during the break. Yeah.
But I want to give a huge shout out to them. If you, it's a great investment, because you will spend hundreds of dollars less when you just go out and buy a whole cow and just pay that up front. Triple J Farm, just ask for Jeremy and they'll get you taken care of.
Okay, and I think I just followed them on Instagram too. Is this them, Max? This right here? Is this the right Triple J Farm?
Yes, that's
okay.
Yes.
There we go. So I found it. It's a Triple J Farm KY on Instagram.
They just opened a new store, so they had a store in front of their farm.
Yeah, they have like a restaurant.
Yeah, well, yeah, they've got this great restaurant now when I was up there, but they moved it from the opposite side of the farm.
Yeah.
Off the bypass in Georgetown, and they haven't even officially announced yet, and when I walked in there, there was like 15 people and they hadn't even announced that they were opened.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, when I say it's like extremely nutrient dense, like that place is rocking. It's great quality food for extremely good price that even competes with grocery stores.
Okay. I will maybe give Jeremy a shout and see if I can get some of these foods as well. Looks pretty damn good. Love it. Very much. Very cool. All right, let's read some text here real quick, and then we'll listen to some Mark Pope sound. Texter, hell yeah, the Druthers fish sandwich is still there. Wow, there's still a Druthers there. Texter, I sat in the dentist chair for 4 hours long and heard Locke tell the same story 10 times. What was this? Texter, live in Campbellsville. Listen every day. Love to meet ya. I'll buy y'all's lunch at Druthers or Getty's. Your daughter playing at Trace Creek. I don't know exactly where it is, but I'll be in Campbellsville, and I'll let y'all know. But I'm sure if that's like the big softball complex there, I'll be there this weekend. Texter, sorry, Rig, wasn't trying to bust your balls. I'm a researcher, so it's an occupational hazard. Oh, that's about the Occam's razor and the Schrodinger's cat. No.
Please correct him.
Yeah, please. Thank you for correcting me on that. I take that stuff seriously. I use those two terms a lot, so thank you very much on that. Texter, born and raised in Campbellsville, they're ready for nothing, surprised by everything. Texter, Gooby just alienated all four Campbellsville listeners. It looks like it got a lot of Campbellsville listeners. I mean, I read through at least three
alienate the four.
I don't know what you said that was bad about Campbellsville.
Oh, you said you were going to Campbellsville. I said why.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, you said why. But yeah, we have a big listener base in Campbellsville. How about that, Zach Cantrell? Did you bet on that today when you woke up this morning out of the Zach Cantrell bed?
Oh, no. Not a chance.
I love it. There we go. No way. Stomping grounds. All right, so Mark Pope was on Paul Feinbaum and Jim Rome, okay? Let's play the Paul Feinbaum sound first, the first sound I sent you. So here's Mark Pope on Feinbaum this afternoon.
On Saturday morning at the Final Four, I walked into a lounge at the hotel, and Cal and Tubby were sitting there talking, and so both of those coaches have been incredibly gracious to me throughout my career. I have so much love in my heart for both of them. And so it was also fun to corner two of the great coaches to coach at the University of Kentucky, my alma mater. So I literally walked up to them, sat down, and fanboyed a picture. So we have a picture of the three of us. And actually had a chance to talk to both of them and just share my gratitude for their stewardship at the University of Kentucky and my appreciation that this was a job that very few people in the world understood how challenging it was, and just told them how much I love them. And so 24 hours later, and I think honestly the three of us were sitting there and not one of us, I'm guessing, had any concept of the possibility of what would ensue over the next 24 hours and 96 hours. But that moment will be really special to me because the tradition at Kentucky, it's tying the generations together, generation to generation, that I think is one of the things that sets us apart. And certainly every single coach from Cal to Tubby to Coach P to Joe B, and then every single player from all those generations and before is really the strength of this program.
So I just thought it was really wild that Mark Pope's at the Final Four. And this is literally days before, like, John Calipari left for Arkansas. At that point, like, Cal likely knew he wasn't going to be Kentucky's coach next season. And he just happens to run into Tubby Smith and John Calipari and had no idea 2 weeks later he's going to go into Rupp Arena and have the hero's welcome that he had. I thought this was an absolutely wild story for Mark Pope there.
Is that?
Yeah, I was like, oh, he was like two past Kentucky head coaches and the current Kentucky head coach were all in the picture together, and none of them had any idea that Mark Pope was going to be the Kentucky coach like both of those guys. That was pretty cool.
But one of the coaches definitely knew he was going to be the next head coach at Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. Like Tubby had no idea. But, yeah, like I said, Cal was flirting with that job Saturday, probably early Friday, to be, or maybe he was sooner than that.
He was flaring that job back in February.
Yeah, but no, you're right. But it was just funny that Mark Pope just had to stumble along like, oh, hey, it's Cal, it's Tubby. And by the way, I'll be amongst their ranks here soon enough. Now, the second one is
I'm going to take your job.
Yeah.
Cal's trying to go to Ohio State in February. So.
He was.
Oh, I that's crazy.
Are you disappointed that he didn't go to Ohio State because you're an Ohio State
fan?
No,
not really.
Really?
Nah.
So you're okay?
He's more invested in banners than he is
that's right.
first-round draft picks.
That's
correct.
Right. That's
I want to win. I don't care about first-round picks. If they don't win for me, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point.
It's like Ohio State can pump out all the first-round draft picks all they want. I don't care. They lost to Michigan 3 straight years. That's what I care about.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I feel the same way, but it is interesting that Calipari still doesn't have anybody out of the transfer portal other than Zvonimir Visic. Like, he still is the only guy. Now,
he has Boogie Cousins in the media transfer portal.
Yeah.
Kentucky will never be on TV again.
Ever again.
They were never on TV before Cal showed up.
Exactly.
It was all Calipari's carried Kentucky forever.
Without him, they would have never been
what
on TV.
What did they do before Boogie and Calipari showed up?
Tell us, watching them.
To the defense of Boogie, I mean, Kentucky was a football school when he showed up.
I heard that.
That's a great
big
point.
Big-time
yeah.
football school.
Yeah. Big-time football.
Black and white highlights.
They had Andre Woodson and Justin Jeffries
well,
left tackle.
Dad, we just won the Liberty Bowl against ECU. Thank
yeah,
you
Yeah, they
very
did.
Much.
Yeah, you
yeah,
did.
The Liberty
Stevie
Bowl,
Johnson.
Baby. Yeah. Damn right. Damn
they
right.
beat Louisville
yeah.
in 07.
Hell yeah, they
and
did.
08.
And 08.
And
09.
And 10.
And we can keep
and
going.
And we don't worry about 11 through... 16.
We don't worry about that.
We can worry about everything
that.
Since.
Oh, yeah, everything since.
Yeah.
Don't worry about
that. They
the
had a little
there.
Hiatus in the rivalry before 16.
Exactly.
And then
it
came back up again.
Stoops just went to sleep for a little bit.
They
he
just
woke
didn't
up.
Play.
Big Mark woke up. He's fine.
He woke up.
Now, did you see the... we'll play this other post now, but have you? Did you see the picture of Pope and Stoops, Max?
Yes, I did.
They're shining. They were in the most magical place on earth. No, it's not.
Jeff
it's not
Rubies.
Disney World. It's not Disney World. It's Jeff Ruby's in Lexington. That's the most magical place on earth. That's where Anna Turillo used to go and tell the band what to play. They knew her by name, and so she's able to walk up there and tell them exactly what songs to play. But yes, there's some pictures. I mean, Mark Pope's wife was hanging out with Jennifer Palumbo. She's a big time mover and shaker in Lexington. But Vince Mero is doing the point thing next to Mark Stoops. And the best thing about the picture, Max. Best thing about the picture. Who does Mark Pope have his arm around the most? Mike Stoops. That's what I'm talking about. Big Mike Stoops, linebacker coach extraordinaire. Mark Pope's in with the in crowd now. Now, again, like we said earlier in the show, he may have had a water with his steak, but he was still with the
he's
Stoops.
He's not really dressed for Jeff Ruby.
No, he's not. He looks like a guy. He does.
He looks like a guy that was like, hey, we're going to go to Chili's. And last second they said, add Aramai, let's go Jeff Ruby's.
That's what he wore to Keeneland, too. He wore that exact.
He's been in Utah for way too long.
We got to brand. We got to help out Mark Pope. We had to help him out with the way he dresses at Ruby's. Because look,
is that a religious thing? Does he have to wear a Kentucky quarter staff?
I just think he's like, you know what? I'm comfortable. This is what I wear.
I
Mark
respect
Pope.
That.
I do too.
He's just like us.
Yeah, he's so approachable. He's just like a regular guy. Now, Mark Stoops has a nice jacket on. Mike Stoops has a nice
jacket
on.
It's old.
Who's Mark's or Mike's?
Mark's.
Have you seen that jacket before?
That jacket before.
Oh, you've seen that jacket.
I've seen that jacket.
Wow, come on, Stoops. You make $8.5 million a year. You got to get a new jacket.
I respect that.
You got to get a new jacket. And Vince Merrill's wearing his polo shirt. You got a little Ralph Lauren on with the collar.
It's a quarter zip.
A little quarter zip. That's right. A little quarter zip. Now, I don't know
There's
who these
Eric Wolf.
Who are these
back.
Other two guys?
Eric Wolf is in the far back.
Wolfers are in the.
And that's Frank Bufano.
That's Bufano.
Big Buff.
So we got Big Buff.
He used to be the director of football operations and then got promoted to secondary coach 3-4 years ago.
Okay. So these are the movers and shakers. So you got Big Buff, Mike Stoops, Vince Mero, Wolford, and then Stoops. I mean, who had a better weekend than Mark Pope? Got a recruit. Got to go to Keeneland, live the Ruby's life, if you know what I mean. Oh, and then you had Jennifer Palumbo and Mark Pope's wife taking a picture together. I mean, the Mark Pope's, the Pope family has been embraced by the Lexington media, nightlife, football, everybody. They're the toast of the town, Max. Who's got it better than the Popes right now? Nobody. Yeah, there we go. Did you see Jim Harbaugh's tattoo?
What?
You haven't seen his tattoo?
No.
Oh, what? Did you? Zach, what? You saw it, didn't you?
Unfortunately.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so
okay.
bad.
Okay, Max, you will love this. So, Jim Harbaugh, he got a tattoo to commemorate winning the national championship game.
And he's not even there anymore.
For winning the national championship game and going undefeated. Okay, are you ready to see this? I got to find a picture here. Okay, you ready? Here it is. Okay. All right.
No.
I got to pause the video here. All right.
It's not good.
Look at this.
The most generic tattoo of all time.
It's just an M with 15 and O.
Did the tattoo artist use a potato?
It's like,
that is awful.
Isn't that terrible?
That is such an awful tattoo.
It's not even the Michigan M, really.
No, it's not.
It's just an M.
It looks like the mojo from the Odessa Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
From Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights, yes.
It looked like the dude that goes, Mojo, I'm Mojo.
Yeah, yes.
From Friday Night Lights. What in the world?
I mean, at least you could have got it like maize and blue. Like, you could have gotten the skull. Like Greg Pitino, when he got his tattoo.
That was a fire tattoo.
It was the old English L. It looked good. It had color in it. This is just a plain M, 15 and 0. It's the perfect Jim Harbaugh tattoo.
It's like, dude, already Harbaugh was probably not happy about desecrating his body for a tattoo. If you're going to desecrate your body, dude, just go full in.
Right. Get a sleeve.
Exactly.
Get a sleeve with like every coach and player's name on the roster. Get fill it all up. But no, if you're going to desecrate your body, I done desecrated my body. Got a tattoo. If you're going to do it, go all out. Put your little tippy toes in the water. Dive in, damn it. Come on, Jim Harbaugh.
If I were to get a tattoo, I don't have any tattoos. But if I was going to, and it's going to be on, it's going to be a part of my life forever, it's going to look good.
Yes.
When people see it, they're going to want to know the story behind the tattoo.
Like, wow, that's cool. What made you get that? Or what is this supposed to be?
It's not going
to
look like my 5-year-old wrote M 15 to 6 or whatever.
Whatever that was.
Or 15 and 0
yeah.
Underneath it.
No.
That is embarrassing.
It's like it's stenciled on there. Not
now,
even tattooed.
Now, if he would have gotten the maize blue M and put Wee Fence at the bottom of it.
That would have been awesome.
I would have been like, that's the greatest tattoo I've ever seen.
Absolutely. He should have done Wee Fence or Who Has It Better Than Us? Nobody. Like something
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Exactly. Something like that. That's what you know. Zach, you have a tattoo?
I don't.
You don't have. So none of us have tattoos in this room. Wow, that's surprising. They're so popular and pervasive nowadays.
Oh, no, I would go all out if I'm getting one.
Now, would you get one?
Potentially.
What? Do you have any ideas?
Not really.
Not really? Okay,
so
me either.
So I almost got a tattoo in college.
Really?
The entire offensive line almost did. So
of what? Can you tell us? Or is it a secret?
Yeah, no, I can tell you.
Okay.
So this was 2012. We were trying to break the record, the offensive line record, for most cut blocks in a season. Cut/sting blocks in a season.
Yeah.
And if we finished number one in the country or in the SEC, finished number one in the SEC, we were all going to get a half sleeve tattoo of our cuts, of all of our cut blocks in a row. So,
okay.
So if you got a cut block during a game, you were awarded a lightning bolt.
Oh.
And so the goal was to hit, I think it was 156. It was either 156 or 166 lightning bolts in the season. That would have broken the record.
Holy smokes.
And so we were going to have on our left arm 166 little lightning bolts all the way across.
Oh.
And it's one of the first times in my entire life I gave into groupthink and I gave into peer pressure.
Right.
Because I was the only holdout. And then finally I went, fine. Like, even Coach Summers was in. And I was like,
oh, he was going to do it too?
Like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, but what's the odds? What's the odds of us actually doing this?
Yeah. How close did you get?
157.
Wow! So you
we came second. We came second in the SEC to Alabama.
Were you sweating it out?
I was sweating because my grandparents, especially all my grandparents at that time were living. Two of them would have that would have killed them.
But they have disowned you.
There is a legitimate fear of one of them would have just straight up just disowned me.
Wow! Like, how about that?
It was that big of a deal, and I was sweating. I was like, "Great, I'm gonna have to wear a long sleeve." I don't even know how I'm going to explain this to my mother.
Right.
And luckily, never had to.
Yeah, but you were close.
You're close.
Did you ever like miss one on purpose? Is you like, oh?
Well, no, because I was a cut block guru. But Larry Warford went off. Larry Warford wound up getting close to 56 cut blocks in a season,
just on his own.
On his own.
Well, he was a beast anyway.
Dude,
so
he,
yeah,
he was a killer on cut blocks. But yeah, I was sweating, and I was like, man, and it was going to be. Matt Smith had it designed, and I mean, it was going to be very detailed lightning bolts all the way around.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh.
And this is apparently, so like this like fatty part of your arm right here, like yeah, this, the underside of your arm, it's supposed to be like hell on earth getting a tattoo and like on that.
Well, that would have been at least 35. That would have been 35 lightning bolts.
It's supposed to be like legit the worst part to get a tattoo, that and on your spine. My brother has some pretty cool tattoos. Like, again, I'm not a tattoo guy. Mm-hmm. I would look like a dope getting a tattoo. Like, there's nothing about me that screams tattoo.
A great, great tattoo story of one of my teammates. He doesn't have any tattoos until he got to college, and he was failing math, failing it so bad. And he had already failed the semester before that.
Oh, whoops.
So if he would have failed that semester, he would have been kicked off the team. And this teacher at the beginning of the year put in the syllabus, if you were to get a tattoo with something involving math, you would get a automatic A in the class.
So what?
So he went to the tattoo parlor and got the Pythagorean theorem tattooed on the inside of his right ankle.
Really? He got A squared plus B squared equals C squared on his right ankle? That's awesome.
And he showed up to the final, just walked up and just went, will that work? And she's like, oh, you actually did it.
And you're like, yeah. So do I get my A now? Do I get my A? Okay, bye. See ya. That's a baller move.
Did he get his A?
Huh? Yeah, he got his A.
He got it?
I better get it. The dean.
Yeah.
Huh? I think the syllabus, take it right to the dean. Like, exactly. The syllabus said, it said if I get a tattoo of math, I get an A. I did it. It's right here. It's not rub on.
And the best part was, because he was like, well, I'll just put in a very indiscreet spot. And so he thought the inside of his ankle was discreet enough.
She got on like the bottom of his foot.
I said, why'd you not get on your butt or something?
Yeah, there were no
exactly.
Yes, no one, or like on your thigh.
Exactly.
Or no one's going to see it. But then again, you had to show the professor your butt.
We
probably would have been frowned upon.
Well, yeah. We did have one teammate. I didn't know I was going to dispel everyone's tattoo secrets on here.
You don't say any names.
When you see 120 naked men in the showers every single day, it's like,
yeah, you notice tattoos.
You notice tattoos.
Yeah.
We had a strong safety, white kid, that had a gummy bear. It was not a gummy bear, a teddy bear. It was a pink teddy bear tattooed on his butt with an AK-47 and a cigar in its mouth.
What the hell? That's a random tattoo? That was really weird.
Here's the best part.
Yeah.
I asked him, I said, what's the story behind that? Because I love the stories behind tattoos.
Yeah.
This kid goes, I don't know, I was drunk when I got it.
Oh, well.
I was like, that was a really detailed tattoo just to be drunk one night and just say.
A good friend of mine was in the service, and he was stationed in Australia, or he's in the Navy, and they were in Australia. And he got really super drunk and went to a tattoo parlor and just had a tattoo on his spine. And he woke up the next morning. He's like, I was really sore. I didn't remember what happened. And then my buddies were like, yeah, you got a tattoo on your back, on like a legitimate on your spine last night. And I was like, wow, I've been three sheets to the wind many, 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 many times, but I've never been so bad as where I'm like, just take me to a tattoo parlor and just do whatever. And now I did when I was at Campbellsville. They didn't have like a tattoo parlor or anything there. And so a bunch of the guys, that's when it was early 2000s when piercings were really big. Like everyone was getting everything pierced back then. It was everyone's getting piercings all over the place. And a bunch of guys on my team like wanted various piercings. They wanted their tongue pierced. They wanted their exactly nose pierced, everything like that. So, of course, I'm from Louisville. So they approached me like, can you take us somewhere in Louisville to get piercings? And I was like, yeah, sure. It's like, that's fine. So we all hopped in this one dude's SUV, and I took him to Tattoo Charlie's. And so we walked in like 10 guys, and I think I was the only one that didn't get anything done. Like, everyone got piercings or tattoos. Like, they raked in all kinds of money. And I was there like, come on, you got to get one, Streeple. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I was like, I'll watch all you guys blow your money on a tongue ring. I'm good.
Now, the incoming that's about to happen from the Louisville fans, because they just got another commitment.
Oh, did they?
They got the Pac-12 sixth man of the year, Corin Johnson from Washington.
Who?
Corin
Johnson will transfer
Washington.
To Louisville.
They got the best backup in
the
Pac-12.
The Pac-12 sixth man of the year. Best backup.
Yeah. Averaged 10.9 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists per game at Washington. Here's, so Corin
hang the banners,
Johnson,
guys.
Hang the banners. Pat Kelsey got these working fools.
Here's the thing, though. If Mark Pope got him, we'd be talking about how that's the greatest thing to ever happen to UK basketball.
No, it's true.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A D1 transfer. Wow.
D1 transfer, not from Utah.
He's not. he's not a Mormon. Yeah, let's go. Hey, let's see. Okay, yep. Some of this texted that in as well. So congratulations for Louisville fans. Breaking news: Matt Gobby telling how players cheat their way through school to keep playing football. Call the NCAA. Call the NCAA. Oh, there's a guy, a picture of a guy with Jack Harlow. He has the Avatar cartoon arrow tattooed on his head.
Oh, my gosh.
And looks like he has his hand tattooed like a skeleton hand. Those are bad tattoos. Texter, yeah, Harbaugh really went out with that tattoo. It looked like a scribble on the back of a used napkin. Texter, UK loses another wide receiver, Shamar Porter, to the portal the same day his receiver coach has three of his former players at Houston enter the portal. Coincidence? Probably not. Okay, well, if that's the case, I'll take them. Whoever it is. Let's see here. 11 points, 37% from three. He's got 2 to 3 years left. Let's see. I'm glad Max keeps it real. LOL. Kelsey can't land big men. I don't know if that's the case. Texter had a chief in the Navy that got your name tattooed on his private part. He did it hammered as a joke to tell folks, I bet I got a tattoo of your name on. True story. And yes, he was maybe a little bit crazy.
there's a guy I know.
That's hilarious.
Guy I know that used to be, he's in the Coast Guard now, but he made it through, he made through Buds training and made through Hell Week as a Navy SEAL. And then when he got into like the psychological torture stuff, like snapped, like just mentally snapped. And so he was forced to like, hey, you can't do this anymore. But he never had to ring the bell. So he could go back if he wanted to.
Right.
But
when you ring the bell, it's over.
Exactly.
Yeah, you can never come back.
And so he's been in the Coast Guard, made a great career out of it. But he was big into tattoos. But he got his name. He got his name, his blood type, and something else tattooed on his wrists, on his shoulders, on like real close to his like pubic bone line.
Yeah.
And then on each of his legs. And I was like, that's a weird choice. Why? And he goes, in case I get eaten by a shark.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Like, there's a very specific reason. Okay.
He goes, just in case I lose my dog tags, he goes, either if I get blown up or get eaten by a shark or something, or the propellers get me. And I was like,
yeah.
I mean, usually people get tattoos because, you know, they like a word.
Or a sentimentality reason. Yeah, or
a scripture that they really like.
But he got it so in case he got eaten by a shark or got caught in a propeller.
Or got a leg stuck or something that they knew his blood type and could identify which body part that used to belong
to.
Well,
at least he was thinking ahead.
I guess he was.
Yeah, good for him. Good for him. let's see. While we were talking, Kentucky announced the hiring of Jason Hart and Cody Fuger to the staff. So they are both officially members of Kentucky's basketball coaching staff. So there we go. Corinne Johnson is at Louisville, and we got Fuger. What a big day here in the area. How wow. All right, let's go ahead and take our final break on the other end. We'll wrap the show. We have one more Mark Pope sound to go, and then a couple of comments by him about Colin Chandler, and more thoughts of the show here on the Roundtable, ESPN 680 105.7.
Welcome back to the Roundtable with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
Back?
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, we are back. That's great radio. That was great.
See, that's why he plays the music at the beginning.
I didn't hear it. For some reason, my headphones weren't all the way plugged in. That's going to be on the mixtape. But we're back. Jack, are we back? Are we here? Hey, what are we doing?
Apparently, we are back.
We are back. We're back.
You hear yourself?
I hear myself now. Now I can hear you, too.
I was going to say, normally I can just hear myself, but that's because my brain is operating in a weird way.
I totally dropped the ball on that one. That was terrible. It's the last segment here on the Roundtable on a Monday, ESPN 680, 105.7. So, yeah, it's been a fun show today with Max Godby. Talk tattoos there at the end of the show. It says here, overdramatic military bros are almost more annoying with... No, I'm not going to read that. Golly, you guys just be nice. Texas Pac-12 will officially be... I don't think you spelled that correctly, Texter. All right, so let's go ahead and play this final Mark Pope sound here, Zach. So we played Mark Pope from Paul Feinbaum earlier when he met with John Calipari and Tubby Smith. Had no idea that he was going to be Kentucky's head coach a month from then. Here he is on with Jim Rome and about expectations and Kentucky. Go ahead, Zach.
In all honesty, I've never seen anything like it in my life or the history of sports, actually. And the beautiful, I mean, we had 22,000 people. We had people lined up at, 9 o'clock that came from states away just to be a part of it. And they had to turn away, give or take 5,000 people that couldn't even get into Rupp Arena, right? That's hard to do. And it actually, the one thing that's super humbling is that it didn't really have anything to do with me. It had to do with Kentucky basketball. It had to do with Big Blue Nation. It had to do with the way that the people here love the Cats and what this program means to the state of Kentucky. And so getting to witness that firsthand, Jim, I'm telling you, it's incredibly humbling. It's awesome because that's really the truth. All those people gathered in Rupp Arena to celebrate Kentucky basketball and to show their, commitment to this team. And there's never been anything like it before, and that's just because of the uniqueness of Kentucky basketball. So to kind of get to stand there in the center of it and take it in and feel the passion was incredible. This is we say this all the time. This is not my team. It's not even our players' team. This is Kentucky's team. And that's super special. It just doesn't exist in sports. We kind of think about the Green Bay Packers maybe as the closest approximation, but it's incredibly special to be a part of this program.
All right, there we go. So just him telling Jim Rome the experience he had coming home and coming back to Kentucky. So there we go. They also said earlier they announced the coaches, both Cody Fuger and Jason Hart on the team. They also announced Colin Chandler officially to Kentucky. That is the four-star BYU recruit that was on a mission trip for 2 years. He's now on the team, officially been announced as well. So there we go. Mark Pope getting some stuff done today, and I feel better. Again, if you missed it, Louisville got a transfer during the last segment of the show, and that is a guy that's coming from Washington and the sixth man of the year. So there we go. So 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. So a couple things here before we wrap up the show, Max. One of the things I wanted to get into with you is this transfer portal and rivalry. So I mentioned this a little earlier, and I don't know if you saw this, but these are basketball. And I know basketball is a little different than football. And I think that's probably where you would go with this. But for instance, okay, so you had in the portal over the weekend a former Auburn basketball player transfer to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had a former Ohio State player transfer to Michigan. I mean, these are the two of the bitterest rivalries, especially in football. I mean, you could list that as number one and number two. Alabama and Auburn, number one. Michigan State and Ohio State, number two. Or you can even flip them, and I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Right.
I mean, it's
that was a lot.
It was that. Oh, wow. What do you think? Number one is Michigan, Ohio State
of
to
course.
You, right?
No, yes. No. First of all, it's Ohio State, Michigan. Get it right.
Sorry, Ohio State, Michigan.
Get it right. Apologies.
Shouldn't it be Michigan since they won three times in a row?
Whoa.
Nah.
Ooh.
Okay. 3 years don't make a rivalry.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Okay. What happened?
I like that.
What happened 17 of the previous 18 or whatever the number was?
Tell that to Ryan Day's hot seat.
Yeah. Hey, he can go. If he loses again, he's going to get Calipari'd out of Ohio State.
Yes, I need Calipari'd. Get out of here,
go,
you
Ryan.
Bum.
No one wants you here. You lost four in a row to Michigan. Get out of here, bum.
Now, does this upset you, Zach, that Ohio State player transferred to Michigan? Does that upset you?
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about it. I mean, I don't care that he's leaving. That's fine. You have every right to transfer, and he probably wasn't going to start at Ohio State anyway. But, you know, you're ingrained when you become an Ohio State player, you're an Auburn player, whatever. You're ingrained. You hate the other team. You don't go to the rival. You could have gone literally
right.
Anywhere else. You don't go to the rival. There's not much sacred in the world of sports anymore. Rivalries should be.
Yeah,
and they're not.
They're not. Well, I mean, before this, though, even before the transfer portal era, Marvin Stone did transfer from Kentucky to Louisville, and that was when you had to sit out a year.
Yeah.
And, like, the only good game he had at Louisville was against Kentucky.
Of course,
like,
it was.
It was the only good game Marvin Stone played. RIP Marvin Stone, too, by the way. Rest in peace. But, like, the best game he had as a Louisville Cardinal was when Kentucky played, and I think Louisville won that game, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, I don't know. It is weird to have these blood feuds and this team hop right over to the other side. Now, Max, you kind of shook your head.
I thought DJ Wagner was going to Louisville. That was supposed to be the rival transfer.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. And by the way, this meme of Pat Kelsey with the glasses and the bright red eyes, get this out of my life. Like, he's not Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Terminator. I mean, stop it. It's
Dark Kelsey.
Dark Kelsey. Yeah. Dark Kelsey and Dark Brandon.
I will not live down those Velma glasses. Did not wear glasses once in his entire career. All of a sudden goes to Louisville.
And then showed up with those. It's like, oh, wow, look at this. Anyway, so you don't care one way or the other. You don't, I mean, that doesn't bother you?
I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask. I mean, literally, I just talked about, I think, last week, if Louisville offered me $2.5 million to be their fan,
yeah,
I'd be a
that's true.
Fan.
That's a good point.
Justin, and I... Yeah, I mean, if I was getting paid $50,000 at Kentucky, and then Jeff Brohm came to me and said, "Hey, I'll pay you $2 million to come play for me," shoot, I'm taking that.
Yeah, I'm taking. Oh, absolutely.
I'm taking that. You're stupid if you don't. I get the rivalry. But don't get me wrong. Hate Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville's paying me for it. Then I'm like,
yeah, it's looking pretty good over there. It's not too bad.
It's just like with a competitor that you have in a company. It's like you may not like them. They may steal business from you. And you may be like, oh, you know, they do everything to try to undercut us and all that. They go, wait, hold on. You want me to join your team? How much are you paying? All right.
Sold.
Exactly.
You got me.
I'm shallow like that. But.
No, I understand. Look, I understand that 100%. You got to do what's good for you. It's just odd seeing this. I know, and I don't know how fans think about it. Like, I don't know. Like, if DJ Wagner would go to UofL, it would upset me. Like, it would. Not because, like, I wouldn't like him anymore.
Why,
but like,
so why would it upset you?
Just because Louisville has something nice. That's it. Like, I don't want them to have nice things. That's just how I am. I don't want them to have good players. I don't want to have nice things. I want them just to always be bad. That's just how it is. I'm sorry. And then plus,
isn't it more fun though? Isn't it more fun when they're really good and then you beat them while they're really good?
Not when. Okay, I'll give you. It's more fun when they.
How electric was it? You, me, Jeffries, Anna Tarillo, Jason Ince, and my wife, all watching that game, the Governor's Cup.
That was electric.
And watching UK win that game.
No, that was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. No, you're right in that aspect of things. But they still went to the ACC championship game. I didn't like. They lost in an embarrassing fashion. It was one of the worst conference championship games of all time. I mean, don't let Louisville fans twist it like it was a tough, hard fought game. No, it stunk.
That game stunk.
It was terrible. Stop it. It stunk.
16-6. That game put me to sleep.
Yeah, dude. You're a football Freddy.
Yeah,
you
am.
Love football. Zach can't try
I do
football,
love football
Freddy.
But yeah. You know what I like? Offense. I like entertainment.
Yeah.
That game had none.
None of it.
Jack Plummer versus whoever Florida State's third-string
quarterback.
Was. Brock Glenn, I think, was his name.
I don't know what his name
I'd rather have Brock Vandergriff.
Let's see. Fake news on Jaden Quayton's price tag. That's just what I'm going to see here. Says hearing. Jaden Quayton's dad said fake news about the $1.5 million, $2 million price tag. I don't know. I wouldn't trust people. I would trust less than recruits or recruits' parents. Like I wouldn't trust any recruits' parents about anything, especially if they're posting on social media. I don't trust them at all. Let's see. Mercenaries don't care about rivalries. Yeah, that's true. Texture, do you have to renegotiate every roster player's NIL every year? I would imagine so that you'd have to do that.
Well, it depends on the agent. It depends on how the contract's set up.
I guarantee you if Reed Shepard would have come back this year, there would have been a renegotiation.
Well, of course there would have been.
Yeah. So I would say there probably is renegotiations.
Like you said, the data has changed.
The data changes. Yeah, exactly. Now, I wonder if, like, you underperform what you thought your worth was, does your NIL get docked a little bit? Maybe that's why you enter the transfer portal, because maybe you had this big NIL deal. You go in, and instead of averaging 15 points per game, you average 5. And you go from a starter to the seventh guy on the bench. Does your NIL get renegotiated lower? I can see players leaving for that. Like, no, I was making, I was making $500,000 here. I'm not going down to $75,000. I'll go somewhere else. I could totally see that happen. And if it's not renegotiated, it should be renegotiated. If you're wasting money on a player that's saying I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and they don't do any of it, then, by God, you should have a renegotiated NIL. Or in the case of Trenton Flowers, hopefully get that NIL back. He took his money and he headed to Australia. Texter, there were pictures of Pope picking up recruits with his wife. When do you think the last time Cal did that? Cal did do that. There have been
Cal
other...
Cal did that
several
times.
Several
that's
times.
Not, that's not abnormal.
Yeah, it's not abnormal.
Several coaches do that.
Yes, to act like Mark Pope's the only one in history to do that. Shows you don't do your research or you don't pay attention to what's going on.
Matty Banks really thought he had one there, didn't he?
Oh, he did. He was saying he's so mad.
I've never seen a coach do this before.
I've never seen a coach go to an airport to welcome a player.
Oh, no.
Wow.
What does he think, that the assistants did it? Calipari's never been at an airport in his life?
He sent Bruiser Flint to do it.
Bruiser.
Bruiser. Go beat Jacob Toppin at the airport.
Bruiser, you're hired. What's your job? Picking up players at the airport. Yeah. You're a gopher, Bruiser.
That's what everyone does in the Nick Saban Rehabilitation Coaching Clinic.
That's right. That's what Butch Jones had to do. Butch Jones was the airport
though,
guy.
Champions of life, people.
No, I forgot about
what
that.
What was it? No, that those analysts or the quality control, whatever they were called, they would have to go pick up coaches' kids from school.
Oh, sure.
To the playground. They were glorified GAs.
I could see that. Could you imagine that, having to go and pick up Nick Saban's kids and take them to the playground?
You were just in a $3 million job. And now you're making $25,000.
Oh, man.
Picking up Nick Saban's children and the other coaches' children.
That would be terrible.
Especially if you had a coach that was on your staff, and now they're at Alabama, and now you work for them, and now you go, he just looks at you and goes, go pick up my kids. Coach, please.
Oh,
sorry.
And you can't say no.
Yeah, you can't say no.
Well, you can't say no. Well, that's ridiculous. But, yeah, this whole idea that that Mark Pope was the only coach to ever pick up a player. And he had multiple, I mean, Fran Priscilla, CBS, and a lot of people come at him. He got so mad about it. Leave me alone. I didn't know. Now I know. Chill out, everybody. It's like, okay, come on. All right, a few more texts here before we get out of here. Wait, you got Jim Rome sound? Did James cut it? No, Zach cut it for me. I found it. Zach went back there and cut it. Let's see here. I can't read any of these. Read Kyle Tucker's tweet on another assistant coach. So there's another assistant coach being named.
They just named like three in like the past 30 minutes.
Oh, there's another one. Oh, okay. I must have missed because I got the first two. I got Fugger and Hart. Let's see here. Hearing Baylor's associate head coach, Alvin Brooks III, whose father was director of basketball ops in Kentucky under Billy Gillespie, could be a name to watch for Mark Pope's staff. Brooks would be a big-time get for UK. Okay, so there we go. Another possibly another assistant there as well. The news coming in fast and furious. Wow, somebody named SEC Writer just followed me. Oh, they got 6,000 followers. Okay. Founder and editor. All right, I'm going to follow you back. It seems like you're a legit account. There you go. I only follow back legit accounts. Matt Jones with nope. Okay. Man. Holy smokes. I didn't know.
Mean that. Today.
Yeah.
Somebody really doesn't like Matty Banks.
Somebody really doesn't like Matty Banks. And it's not me. It's not me. It's this texter. I can't read texter. I can't read any of these. There's nothing I can read here that you have. They are kind of funny, though. I'm not gonna lie, they are funny. All right, so it should be a big week here around the show, as we should get more players for U of L commit, more players for Kentucky commit. Louisville now up to three commits, not counting the College of Charleston guys. Okay, we're just counting the guys that Kelsey didn't bring in his previous stop. So we'll be following that, tracking that as the week goes. More Derby news, I assume, will start coming out. And then next week is a big week, Derby week. You know how we do Derby week around here. We have a lot of fun. We talk very little horse racing, and the horse racing that we do discuss is very uninformed. So we won't be your go-to place when it comes to that. But, yeah, it'll be fun either way. So, Max, you got anything going on this evening? Anything fun going on the Godby household?
I just got to do some more landscaping.
Landscaping. Yeah. There you go.
I got a truckload worth of plants that I brought back tonight, so I've got to go and do all that.
You're always landscaping, and I'm always going to youth sporting events.
Yes.
Those are the two things that you guys do in my life. So our texter, it's our good friend Samson. Sorry, I've had a few IPAs. It's okay, Samson. It's all right. I can enjoy your text. I just can't read them over the air. I appreciate your passion, Samson. I appreciate your passion. All right, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. We'll be back on air tomorrow. I think Jeff Lightsey Jr., Anna Tarullo, is out this week. She's got bachelorette parties and other things going on. Maria Montgomery's bachelorette party, so you know how that's going to go. So I have Jeff Lightsey Jr. in here with me tomorrow and Wednesday, and we'll be back tomorrow on the Roundtable here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.